Roger, why don't you introduce yourself and start right in, so because I know people are interested in what you have to say.
Okay. I don't believe I have spoken with most of the people that are on the line today, except for you, Ruth, briefly, and Robert, who I've spoken with quite a bit. My name is Roger Cicchese, C-I-C-C-H-E-S-E. That's my real name. Trust me, I wouldn't make that one up. My regular work is I work as an audio engineer and sound designer in a small independent recording studio that's located in New Hampshire, deep in the woods of New Hampshire. I live in Massachusetts, but I do commute. There's a lot of audio work that needs to get done, and this is a beautiful site to record at. However, about 9 years ago, I was doing something that many of us have done. Are we still on?
Yes, we're fine.
Okay. I was complaining to a friend of mine about the high cost of Braille and audio technology devices. And, you know, all of us have probably done that at one time or other. I said, you know, unless you have a rich uncle, or you have some sort of, you know, trust fund, or an employer, or you're under the age of 24 and you've got an agency on your behalf, you want some piece of technology, for the most part, its cost is probably going to be out of reach, particularly because most banks will not loan money for stuff they don't understand. Sometimes they will, but not usually. Especially if you're not working. It's hard to get a loan when they think that your source of income is pretty limited. And he said a very interesting thing to me, which I have said to other people, but I'm not used to it being said to me. He said, Roger, do you want to continue to be part of the problem or part of the solution? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, your complaint is understandable and it makes a lot of sense. What do you think could be done to try to overcome that problem, besides yelling at the manufacturers of all this stuff and telling them not to be so greedy and bring their prices down, because that almost never works. So I thought about it, and I said, you know, I got this crazy idea. I wonder what would happen if we got a few older technology devices, not like from back in the 1800s, you know, but in the past, say, 10, 15 years, devices that may no longer be being manufactured, but they might still have some life in them. I wonder what would happen if we got three or four of those devices that aren't working, and to see if we could restore them to good working order. I wonder how much interest there might be, so we could offer those devices at really low prices. So he said, well, what do you mean? This is someone who doesn't know a lot about this stuff. I said, well, for example, a Braille and Speak 2000, when it was being sold, was around $1,500. Wouldn't it be great if we could revive some of those or restore or refurbish some of those and sell them for around $200? He said, you really think we could do it? I said, well, it depends on how much interest there was. Well, to make a long story short,
podcast download.
We got a few of those devices. We cleaned them, repaired them, rebuilt new battery packs, installed new memory backup, obtained manuals that we converted from cassette to compact disc, added, you know, interface cables and things like that. And I started nosing around and calling friends of mine and saying, hey, would you be interested in? And what I discovered was two things. People were very interested, but they also wanted other stuff. So that began the odyssey of setting up what we call the Legacy Technology Project, whose purpose is to acquire, in one way or another, older technology, either working or non-working, particularly Braille and or audio devices, some of which do both. If they can be restored or refurbished, we do it. If we get them and they're already in working condition, we clean them up and do a few other things to them, and then make them available at anywhere from 30 to 80% off their original selling price. And truthfully, the group that we aim this project at, not exclusively, but folks who are on fixed incomes, are likely to have the least amount of money to work with, but just as much needs as people who aren't on a fixed income. And people want to get into the technology game at whatever level they can. And, you know, you might have a talking caller ID or a money identifier, which, you know, is great. You may have a great a cartridge player, but you may want to have some kind of a note taker or some kind of a talking calculator with scientific functions, that sort of thing. And we began to acquire devices from all over the place, from school systems, from junk reclamation places, from agencies for the blind who had old stuff that they legally couldn't throw away, but it didn't work, or it was older and everybody wanted new stuff. A lot of people started donating items that they didn't use or want anymore. Many of them didn't work, some of them did. And we began working on this stuff and then putting the word back out on online trading or selling or buy-sell trade type sites that are specifically out there for folks who are blind, visually impaired, or whoever, who have other communication challenges. And in the past 9 years, I can't tell you an exact number, but we've probably sold several hundred devices. And, of course, the very first question everybody asks is, can I go to a website and look at what you have? I ask that question if it was me. The problem is that our inventory changes so quickly, probably by the time I put something up there, it would already be out of date. And you'd say, hey, well, you had it up there, and you know, it's like false advertising. So what I tell people is, if you want something or you're looking for something, call us up. Chances are we either have it or we can get it. And if we don't have it and we can't get it right away, chances are that you're going to go on a short list. And when the item becomes available, I'll notify you. We have pretty good success. Very often, people have begun giving us stuff that didn't work, or that they felt, even if it could work, it wasn't quite what they wanted to use now. But they recognized if we could make it workable again, somebody else might find it very useful. And sometimes we trade with people. Somebody says, gee, you know, I don't really have the $379 for a brand new VoiceSense, which when it was being sold by Hims was somewhere between $1,400 and $2,000. We happen to have a bunch of brand new ones. But I've got something maybe I'd like to trade, and they'll offer me something, and I'll say, you know what? That's a great deal. Let's do it. You just pay for the shipping whatever those items are to me, and in return, I will send you this device, and I'll cover the shipping and insurance. We often do that. I'm not going to name any names, but there's somebody on this line who was one of those people who did a fantastic arrangement with us, who got something he really wanted, and he had several devices either that didn't work or that he didn't have need for, and we got them, and we got them all working, and we're able to get them out to people who are really thrilled to get them at prices they can afford.
Thanks, Roger.
Did someone ask a question?
No, it was just me seeing Robert saying, thanks, Roger, because I'm the guy he's talking about.
I wasn't going to mention any names, but Robert has been a huge supporter of this project. And here's something you should know. Everybody would love to get money, and we're no different. But we don't usually ask people for money. What we do ask for is older technology devices. Because, truthfully, I wish I could say we're in this to make $1 million, but we're not. I have to tell you, and most of you don't know me, and I suppose I should just tell you a couple of things about myself. I am totally blind since birth, retinopathy of prematurity, but I'm also quite severely hearing impaired. In fact, so severely hearing impaired that I'm actually considered deafblind. I'm not telling you that to look for your pity. I'm trying to tell you that I really get a lot of the challenges that folks have because I have some of them myself. But I also understand that I've been pretty fortunate in my life to be able to acquire technology items in various ways. And I'm also someone who has been fortunate to work all of my life, either part-time or full-time, ever since about 16 years old. But not everybody's in that situation. And I have been told that sometimes there comes a point in your life where you kind of have to give back. And I feel a really real responsibility and a desire to give back in a way that will be meaningful to me. And frankly, if somebody had been around earlier in my life before I really started working or had any amount of money I could, you know, had some discretion with, it would have been great if even some of the devices available back then could have been made more available. But they weren't. But now many of them are. And just to give you an idea of the kinds of things we have right now, I have several brand new voice senses, which is a talking note taker that was made by Hims some few years ago. These are brand new ones. They're not used. These happen to be brand new. They come with brand new batteries, brand new AC adapter chargers, brand new carrying cases, and most of them come with a Braille command summary and the manual on disk. We also have some, let's see, Braille Light 40s. That's an older device that was made by Freedom Scientific, and we managed to restore a few of them, and they're great note takers. They probably won't get you on the internet. Most people, you know, often will say, I don't really need to get on the internet so bad, or I can do that with my computer, but I'd like something I can carry around and use at meetings, and these Braille displays are like thousands of dollars, and I'd like something that I can afford. Right now, we've got a bunch of Braille and Speak Scholars. It's basically a Braille and Speak that was made for APH, so they could get it on the quota system. I'm sure some of you know about that. We have a whole bunch of them, like new. By the way, the Braille, the voice sense that I mentioned, I've actually updated all of them, so they're the last software update that was ever available for those machines. And that makes them very, very useful. And from time to time, we get other things. I've got a couple of, let's see, what do you call those things? Talking GPS devices, complete with all the stuff that goes with them. And from time to time, we get lots of other things. Titan Speaks, I think I have a few of those. We get things like Flex Talk Pockets. That's a digital Daisy player. Bookport Pluses. Some of you may have those. I have a brand new Victor Reader Stream second generation sitting on the shelf over here, which I just checked out. So, you know, the items can be quite diverse. I mean, I've had large cell Braille writers, the Plextor PTR2s. Things really can range all over the place. In fact, we even have a couple of Romeo Pro 50 Braille embossers. We had a bunch of those. I've only got two left. They've gone really quickly because that device sold for over $3,000, and our price is, you know, like more than 70% off that original price. So things get fairly reasonable. So without going on and boring you all to tears, I guess I've kind of given you an idea, a little bit about me and a little bit about what we're doing. And I guess I'd like to see at this point if anyone has any particular questions before I continue.
Well, this is Ruth. I wonder, how do you get around things when they say that they're not making the batteries anymore or certain parts? The manufacturers say that.
Good question. We do two things. We get a lot of devices that don't work, but instead of throwing them in the trash, we keep them, and we rob parts from them to replace parts in devices that, if we could get those parts, we can make them work. But a bigger problem, and it's what you raised, very often the devices themselves are fine, but the manufacturer has stopped manufacturing them, and they no longer sell the battery pack replacements. In many cases, particularly with things like the Braille and Speak, Titan Speak, Millennium 40, devices like that, we actually have figured out a way to rebuild battery packs. In fact, we've even figured out a way to rebuild the battery packs for the old Opticon, which really is a fabulous device. If any of you have ever used one or been trained to use one, it came long before the talking reading machines, and it was quite portable. The problem is that once their battery packs died, there was no way to get them repaired or fixed. We do things like that. We figured out how to rebuild the battery packs for the old Speech Plus talking calculator. Some of you might be old enough to remember that was the first talking calculator ever marketed. By the way, it cost $400 when it was new. You can now go to a CVS or Walgreens and buy a talking calculator for $10 or $15. Mm-hmm. But the Speech Plus, and there's only one other one like it that I'm aware of, their keypad was laid out like a telephone keypad as opposed to the way most calculators are laid out, like the old adding machine keyboards. And believe me, it's a lot easier to handle something that has the keypad laid out like the touch-tone telephone. Most of us are a lot more comfortable with that. And the only other calculator I'm aware of that was done like that is the calculator program that's available on the HIMS Blaze ET, which is a multi-purpose talking device, but it has a scientific calculator in it, and it's laid out like the telephone keypad. I don't mean to digress, but battery packs, we can't do it for every device, but we usually can find ways to figure out how to do it for most devices. There are some that we haven't been able to figure out, and we're still working on it because we do things that Battery Plus doesn't do, and frankly, we don't encourage people to go there because often the folks who mean well often break the items that they're trying to make battery packs for because they don't really understand the technology. So we just encourage you, if you have an older device like that and you want some guidance or some assistance, or you want maybe us to rebuild something for you, you know, talk to us, give us a call. I will tell you that we generally don't fix Braille displays as such. Somebody wrote to me and said they had a Focus 40 and some of the dots don't work right. Do we fix that? Well, I will tell you that sometimes we always clean Braille displays when we get them. And most of the time that fixes dot problems. But when the actuators wear out that push those dots up and down, we generally don't get involved in repairing those because it would actually cost more in those cases to fix it on an old device than it might be to just replace it. I know that sounds crazy because you might have had a device that you paid $2,000 or $3,000 for, and we might be able to get you a used one for, you know, between $400 and $600. That's the way the markets work now. So that's a long winded answer to your question, Ruth, but it's a good question. Anyone else have questions or concerns?
So, Roger, any kind of talking device at all? Do you take those and sell those?
I'm sorry, Robert, could you please repeat that?
Yeah, sorry. A talking device, like a talking clock, any of those?
Talking devices, it sort of depends what they are. If a device originally cost under $100, chances are pretty good that we won't even attempt to repair it because you could probably find something comparable for around the same price. There are a few exceptions. One of the things on talking clocks that we're always looking for is the Talking Time ones from Sharp.
Podcast download completed.
The Talking Time ones, and another one is the Spartus talking clock that was an electric clock that plugged in. Those are two items that we, even though they were originally cost under $100, those are items that are in demand, at least from our point of view, and people are always looking for them, and whenever we get them, as fast as we get them, I really don't even have to tell anybody about them. It's somehow like people know psychically, and they somehow know when we get them, and they're gone usually the same day. So, and for other talking technologies, it sort of depends on what they are, but as I said, you know, usually the biggest problem with talking technologies, and even to a certain extent Braille technologies, the biggest problem problem we run into is battery pack problems. And when we can rebuild them or figure out a way to restore a device's battery pack, very often we can do it, and it's just like it was before when you got it new. In fact, now that I'm thinking of it, I'm going to ask you guys and gals for a favor. I have a device that I think was made in the middle to late 80s. It was originally sold by a company called GW Micro. They're the folks that did Window Eyes and Vocal Eyes. I don't think they manufactured it, but I think they sold it. It was a talking note taker called the Arctic Squirt. That's S-Q-W-E-R-T.
Yeah.
If you look at the keyboard, you'll realize why they called it that. I have one. We've restored it. I've got it working. I cannot get a manual for it. If anybody has one on disc or in print or in braille, get in touch with us, because I can't sell the device until I can at least get a manual and know how to operate it. But it does work. I didn't think we were going to be able to rebuild the battery pack for it, but we did, and it's really nice. I was actually thinking of keeping it myself, but that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to keep stuff. I'm here to get it working and get it into other people's hands. Other questions or comments?
This is Annalie in Florida.
Yes.
I have a type and speak that I was issued back in, I want to say, 2002 or 2003.
And
it was barely used. I never really got instruction on it, so it sat on the bookshelf.
We would happily take it off your hands, and if you, rather than discuss it in detail here, I'll just, before I go, and I'll probably say it a couple of times, you can always call, and our phone number is 603-827-3859. That's 603-827-3859. Or, excuse me, you can email us. We have a great email address. It is the number one, no spaces, nation under sound. So it's one nation under sound, but it's the number one, at gmail.com. One nation under sound at gmail.com. And that's because the recording studio stuff. But if you've got something that you are no longer using and might want to part with it, please feel free to call us or email us. Whether it works or whether it doesn't, we're always interested, and we'll be happy to take stuff off your hands. And if you've got something that you think, you know, gee, I can't quite just give it away, but, you know, a few bucks, and I'd be happy. There are things we're looking for. If anybody has a TSI game center, that's something we're getting some requests for, and I haven't been able to find one. I know what it is. We've got requests for the Fidelity Talking Chess Challenger. That was out maybe 35 years ago. We still get requests for standalone reading machines, like the old Xerox Kurzweil reading machines, or even some of the older machines from Freedom Scientific, either the one with the camera or, you know, the one with the scanner. And we get requests for those because when they were new, they were $2,000 and out of reach for most of us. So if anybody has any stuff like that, we do get requests. About the only thing that we don't deal with at this point, and we get a lot of questions about this, is cell phones. And the reason that we don't is that to make it really practical, not only do you need to get the cell phone, but it needs to be configured so that when you get it, you can use it. And since all the carriers are different, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on with the different carriers, at this point, at least, we've kind of decided not to get into that. But a direction we are beginning to seriously look at, and frankly it's because there's a lot more people who have these needs, is low vision technology, like magnifiers, electronic magnifiers, stuff like that. Not the handheld ones, but, you know, electronic ones that several companies have made and do make, and there's a lot of folks looking for that stuff. So we're now beginning to look around for that stuff ourselves. But mostly, I recognize, as do my partners, that the Braille and audio technology that so many of us really want to get our hands on in one way or another, much of it is still out of reach. And our job here is to make some things which may not be the latest and greatest that came out in 2019, but they're devices that still have a lot of life in them, and you can still do a lot.
Podcast download completed.
You know, break the bank or, you know, rob a bank, and you can get your hands on some of this technology and make it part of your life and make some of the tasks that you enjoy doing even more enjoyable and, frankly, fun. Any other questions or comments or thoughts or suggestions?
This is Joanne from Georgia. What about the battery pack for the PackMate? I love my PackMate.
I got to tell you something. We have probably sold, I'll bet, 50 or 75 PackMates. I have never had one that the battery needed to be replaced. I'm not saying it can't happen. And I am not sure about replacing the battery pack for a PackMate because I've never got one that required it. But if you've got one that needs a battery pack, get in touch with me off the line, and we'll discuss it and see what I can do for you. I do have a technician that I work with. I evaluate all the devices that come in. We figure out what they need. He does most of the technical work, and then I evaluate them when he's done, and usually configure them and set all the parameters so that when you get it, it's more or less going to do what you expect it to do. So the PackMates have a battery pack that seems to last almost forever. I know it can wear out, but as I said, some of the PackMates I've had go back to 2002, and their battery packs are still good. So that was something that Freedom Scientific actually did right. We actually have a customer who purchased the serial number 003. Of the original Braille and Speak. Some of you remember that from 1987. He bought it about a year ago. When he bought it, the original battery pack was in it, and it was still working. It just died about a month ago. That means somehow or other, the battery pack in that machine lasted 32 years. We can't figure out how that happened. But strange things do happen, and fortunately for him, we can fix that, and he's already shipped it to us, and it's being worked on, and he'll get it back shortly. So that's kind of the story with the PackMates. We do also, I forgot to mention, we do also have PackMates available with 20 and 40 cell Braille displays, and with Braille Perkins keyboards and the QWERTY keyboard. So if anyone's looking for that kind of a note-taker, we have some of those as well.
Bill, could you give me your phone number again?
Sure. The phone number, the best number to reach us at is 603-827-3859. Or you can email us at onenationundersound@gmail.com. That's onenationundersound@gmail.com. And it's the number one, not the word one. Actually, we chose that arrangement because we get a lot less junk mail using the number one instead of the word one. We still get some, but not nearly as much as we would get if I had actually used the word one. The word one would make more sense, but it's kind of fun to have this one. Anyone else have any questions, comments, thoughts, suggestions?
Yes, my name is Annie Maxwell from Georgia. What is the name of your company again?
Okay, the company is actually called Voices of Experience. I should have mentioned that. The company is actually called Voices of Experience. The word experience begins with an X, not an E, because the acronym spells V-O-X, which many of you know is the word for voice. If you go to our website, the funny thing is, you'll find out about our recording studio, but you won't find out much about our legacy technology project. That's kind of been a, I don't want to say a secret, but it's kind of been a lot quieter in terms of...
Podcast download completed.
However, we are working on a package of PSAs that at some point soon we'll be sending out to radio reading services all over the country, and we'll be getting a lot more exposure. We're not quite ready to do that yet, but we're working our way up to it, and we've got
podcast download completed.
People on this line who have done a great job and recorded some things for us. Is that helpful, lady from Georgia? Oh, I wonder if she's gone. Anyone else have any questions, comments, thoughts, suggestions? Want to yell at me for talking?
Podcast download completed.
So I might say, this is Robert. I did put the contact information for Roger and his company on our senior listserv like 2 days ago. I could do it again at some point. In fact, I'll probably do that when I give the announcement that this recording is available.
Volume 14.
I still haven't figured out how to turn off this Wi-Fi on this Victor stream. So you've heard that a couple of times. But anyway, I'll add the contact information when I put up the notice that this recording is available.
Let me just mention one other thing. I am currently looking for myself, not to sell, although I could probably sell six of them of these if I could get them. But for myself, I'm actually looking for a Plextor PTR2 in good working order. If anyone has one for sale, trade, giveaway, whatever, get in touch with me offline. I'm actually looking for one for myself. I made mine available to somebody a year ago because she's a student, she's in school, and she was really, really desperate, and I let her have it. But now I'm kind of thinking, wow, I really missed that device. Anyway, if anyone has one or knows where one might be found, get in touch with me. In the meantime, I want to thank all of you for being patient with me and listening to my yammering on for the last few minutes. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with you. And I'm going to encourage all of you to spread the word about the Legacy Technology Project. It is to a certain extent a labor of love. But we are now at a point where we are beginning to seek support or foundation or grant support so that we can expand the project and actually offer our items at even lower prices and get a lot more variety and inventory. So if anyone has any thoughts about that, we're working on a number of points on that situation. But if anyone's got any ideas, and you never know, please feel free to let us know. In the meantime, I'd like to thank you, Ruth, for inviting me to come on this line today. And if any of you belong to any other state chapters that do these conference calls, and you'd like me to come on and talk with your group, I'm all too happy to do it. I've done this for several other state chapters, and my goal, perhaps, is to talk with every one of them in the United States before my voice wears out.
Excuse me, Roger. What's your number again, please?
Yes, the phone number is area code 603. That's in the state of New Hampshire.
Right.
And the number is 827.
Okay.
3859.
Okay. Would you spend your last name again, please? C-I...
Okay, yeah, that's probably a good idea. My last name is spelled C-I-C-C-H-E-S-E.
Thank you very much.
It is pronounced Chicasy, tell you that my computer pronounces it sick cheese. And the first time the person heard it, they just couldn't stop laughing. And I think it's pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
I've rewritten my last name phonetically, so now it says it properly. But some devices, you don't have that option. And unfortunately, a lot of them just can't help themselves, and they have funny ways of saying awkward names. And it usually gets a laugh or a smile from people. So,
I have a couple of suggestions for you, and you may have already done these, so
go ahead.
Tell me. You know, each state does get federal funding for telecommunications equipment, and sometimes it depends on the state. Our state here in Maryland is called Maryland Tap. They're called different things in each state, but they may be a source for getting some equipment that is older that people aren't, you know, so much interested in, or especially things that could be working but maybe aren't quite, because I don't know that while they send the material out to people, I'm not sure they have the expertise, if it isn't functioning, that they can do something with it.
So that
may be, each state gets funding for this kind of thing.
That's a fabulous idea, and actually it has been suggested to me.
Yeah.
And I would love to follow up with every state agency that does that. The problem is I'm not quite sure how to get a list of the names and contact information for each state, because it is different each state.
Yes, it's very different.
If you got any thoughts about that, I know you're an
adjustment. Yeah, I'll have to work on that a little bit.
Please let me know, because that would be an excellent source.
Some of them are, like you say, just mostly telephone equipment, but many of them do other kinds of things.
Sure, they do.
It depends on the agency and the director of it, and funding and population, etc.
And we do Ruth, some telephone equipment, those devices that are like super super loud when it rings, or a blinker that blinks when the phone rings. Or some big button telephones that, you know, you use on a landline phone. And we're always on the lookout for things like that, because people ask us about them. And if you have any thoughts of how we might pull together that kind of a list, the other thing is, many agencies, state agencies, rehab agencies, and agencies for the blind have lots of this older stuff in storerooms, closets, what have you, and it's sitting there. Many of the things are broken, and we try very hard to get the agencies to release some of those things. We've had some success, but a lot of them, you know, you're not supposed to throw that stuff in the trash, and yet a lot of it is stuff that their clients aren't using anymore, and they're not quite sure what to do with it. So we say, if you've got stuff and you're willing to let it go, you know, we'll pay for the shipping if need be, and we'll take all of it unless it's really heavy like those old CCTVs.
Yeah.
We refurbish a lot of it and get it out to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get these things. So if any of you have contacts with any state agencies where we might talk with their tech people or their resource people, that's another area where, and school systems is another resource where we sometimes get stuck.
Podcast download completed.
So I'd like to thank all of you for your time and your interest and your patience with me this afternoon, and really feel free to call. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't call at 2 in the morning, but, you know, between 8 or 8:30 in the morning and 5 or 6 at night, we're usually around on weekends, so it doesn't have to be weekday. And if for some reason we don't answer the phone, it isn't because we don't want to talk to you, please feel free to leave a message, and we're pretty good about getting back to people. Just make sure you state your name and phone number, and if possible, what you need or what you're concerned about or what you're curious about, and I can promise you I get back to almost everybody within 24 hours or less. I'm just going to mention one last thing, and that is if you purchase something, although we will take all the major credit cards, we really prefer using PayPal. Doesn't mean you can't get something if you don't do that, but PayPal really speeds up the process for us, and actually it'll speed it up for you too. So keep that in mind,
And again, thank you so much for the invitation. Tell your friends about us, and if the opportunity comes around for us to speak to other chapters and you can put us in touch with some of those folks, we'd be happy to do it. Any last questions before we wrap this thing up? Well,
yes,
silence is golden.
Thank you so much. Yes, that's right. Silence is golden. Thank you very much.
Thank you again, folks.
For coming on, and we'll probably be in touch over time, as you know. So this is a good source for people to get things and to also get rid of things that people want to.
By the way, I will not talk down to you. I know how to do that, but that doesn't help anybody. If you're having a problem and I can help you with it, because you've got a piece of technology from us, I'm probably not going to do a 3-hour tutorial, but I will do my best to explain things to get you started if you need that. So don't fear that you're going to get on the phone with a geek who's going to make you feel foolish and talk down to you. I don't like that when people do it to me, and I won't do it to you. I just want to pass that along. And again, thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Robert.
Okay,
thank you to all you wonderful folks for coming in today and listening to me, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Robert, did your recording record?
Yes, absolutely.
Good, okay. Okay, so we can put this on our webpage.
Most certainly will.
At some point.
Yeah, next day or so.
Yeah.
Probably tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah? Ruth, it's Pat.
Yes.
I came on kind of late. I liked it a lot. It's really good.
Yeah.
How do you
know
where to pronounce his name again?
Roger Sakacy.
Sakacy. Okay.
I'm saying Sakacy. He says it's Chakacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
It's C-I-C-C-H-E-S-E.
Yeah, I spelled it,
yes.
But I could not.
Okay.
After I saw it, I thought, I don't get this.
Stinky cheese.
You're not sure. Yeah.
Stinky cheese.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Have a good 4th of July, everybody.
Okay, you
Thanks.
Too.
You all
See
too.
You soon.
Alrighty.
Alrighty.
See some
Bye.
Of you in a couple days.
Oh.